Roddy Mutton Nice Show. It is Tuesday already. It feels like quite a week, doesn't it? Tuesday, our dear friend Delaina Dixon is off today. She's travelling. Hello, Delaina. I hope you're having fun. Maybe you're listening. So filling in, joining us is our friend JT Stevens from the Daily Mail TV. JT, are you there?
Hey, Rob. How are you? Happy Tuesday.
Hello, my friend. It's been a couple of weeks since we spoke to you, so we've got a lot of gossip to catch up on. Do you know what time it is, JT? It is
Tea time.
Big exclusive at the top of the show. Tyra Banks is purging the staff from Dancing with the Stars that are still loyal to Tom Bergeron. So Tyra has taken over the show. It's doing pretty well in the ratings, and she plans to make more changes next season, the following season. I think Tyra's going to be hosting this show for a long time. The changes, though, do include replacing some of the staff who might not be so loyal to her. So let me explain. Sources tell me, when Tyra came on board, she brought a very small team with her. Dancing with the Stars wasn't created for Tyra. It existed for over a decade. The team was up and running. It was a fine-oiled machine. And then Tyra came in. She only brought a few members of staff with her. So basically, she inherited all Tom Bergeron's team, some of which didn't want to change stuff. They liked the old ways. They were resisting Tyra, and those people should all be careful. Have you ever worked at a job, JT, where you've gone in and the team exists, and at first you have to go a little bit slow, you have to be a bit careful? It's very hard taking over a job. What do you think?
Oh, absolutely. I think, like, you know, you're new, you want to make a good impression, but you're also there to work and they hired you for a reason. So, you know, you're going in with your expertise and it's just, you know, kind of mingling with the different personalities and finding your spot.
Right. I don't feel actually this is quite bad for Tyra. In fact, I think she's doing a wise thing. You get in a job, you figure it out, but it's natural. Think about where you work. It's natural to want your people around you. You want people that love you, respect you, trust what you're doing. So you want your own team. So I think Tyra will be shaking it up a little bit more behind the scenes, which brings us to really our big poll question of the day. Does Tyra deserve to have her own team? Think about it yourself. When you've gone into a job, do you deserve to have your own team around you? Go vote yes or no. You can go to our Twitter page at Naughty Nice Rob. You can go to our Facebook page, Naughty Gossip, and be sure to check back tomorrow to hear your results. JT, love, what are you working on?
All right, Rob. So cue Taylor Swift's Bad Blood, because the war is on against Scooter Braun. So Variety is reporting that Scooter sold the rights to Taylor Swift's master recordings for a whopping $300 million just 17 months after acquiring them. So Taylor left the first six album masters behind once she moved to Universal Music Group. So that's when Justin Bieber's manager scooped in and purchased those rights. So Tay-Tay was not pleased and went ballistic because she was never given the right to buy them herself. So now Scooter has turned an insane profit by getting rid of them, just as Taylor is contractually able to re-record all of her hits. But it's no surprise, because back in August of 2019, Taylor declared publicly that she would re-record her smashing hits. Mm-hmm. So get this. So master recordings earn revenue through multiple avenues, including streaming and consumption, sampling, public broadcast use in television, film, and commercials. So Rob, should artists have a say in their own music rights before anyone else or a corporation is given a chance to buy them? I kind of feel like Taylor should have had that opportunity. What are your thoughts?
Right. It's interesting because she's fired back. Just minutes ago, she fired back. She broke her silence and she's claiming that Scooter's trying to shut her up. This is the second time music has been sold without her knowledge. So Scooter bought it. He owns it. I guess once you own it, you can do what you want with it. He sold it. So I think legally, everything's kosher here. She has no foot to stand on. But what she does have is, I think, the judgment of the public here. It doesn't feel right, does it, that her life's work, six albums that she sweated over, poured her heart into, she now doesn't own. They could be sold to do dog food. I love dogs, so that isn't an insult. But they could literally be on any commercial now. So it is tricky for her. She did say in this new statement I'm reading right now that she was prepared to work with the new company so that they could have a relationship about her catalogue. However, she's found out that Scooter's still going to participate financially in her old music catalogue for many, many years. And that for her is a non-negotiable starter. Trust me, this is going to get really ugly. It's a little bit technical messy. Because it's about music rights and publishing and songwriting, but we know a lot about it, so we'll guide you through it. Ultimately here, Taylor is not having a good day. Rumors are swirling around New York that Claire Crawley and Dale Moss, the handsome guy she met on The Bachelorette, are secretly married. Oh. Fans are going nuts over he posted some pictures wearing a ring on that finger. On Reddit, a lot of fans are saying, oh my goodness, is anybody else noticing what he's got on his left hand? Ooh, I did a little digging. He's actually been wearing this ring since September. They're not married. I think both of them are enjoying the publicity. We have a bit of scoop on Dale, our very own Miss D, who's off today. Miss D knew Dale in New York before he went on The Bachelorette. They went out for coffee together, wink, wink, where he wanted to know about being on TV, being a host. So Dale's ambitious. I don't say that in a bad way. Good for him. He wants this career. He wants to be famous. Now he's got it. I think he's playing with us a little bit. What do you think, JT?
Absolutely. I think he's definitely playing it. I feel like anybody with the Bachelor franchise, that sort of thing, I feel like, you know, they want the publicity. They go on that show for a reason. So he's putting on a ring. We're here talking about it on your podcast. Like, you know, that's what they want. The buzz is happening. And, you know, good for them, though. They're a cute couple.
Good for them. What's going on with Harry Styles?
Oh, my God. Fans are defending Harry Styles after wearing a dress. It's so amazing. Oh, my gosh. He's on the cover of Vogue magazine. But here's this. So Candace Owens, she's the conservative commentator who took issue with Harry's outfit choice for his history-making cover spot on Vogue's upcoming December issue. So the magazine unveiled Styles as the first ever solo male cover star. Ooh. Congratulations.
They've never done a man as a solo ever before. Breaking ground here. Congratulations.
We love to see it. And so Harry has always been one to, you know, gender bend his fashion. And for the magazine's cover, he opted to wear a Gucci ball gown. Super chic. And, you know, claps for Harry. Yes, Harry, we love it. And so, but not so fast, because, you know, Candace Owens, who took to Twitter to low-key emasculate and accuse Harry of promoting, quote, the steady feminization of our men. And also this morning, I've been following this story, and, you know, she even had a moment to clarify what she said while she was trending, and she still tweeted back out, quote, bring back manly men. So, Rob, whoa, I can't. Candace has been in the news these last weeks. I don't even want to talk about what she said about Barack Obama.
Yeah, don't go there.
But have you ever pushed the boundaries of your own fashions?
No, I'm really conservative when it comes to what I wear. I'm just more comfortable in a black T-shirt and dark jeans and maybe a jacket. Fashion's not a very big deal in my life. I used to work for Naomi Campbell and Tyra Banks, so I've been around the fashion shows and fashion week, and I love it, and I think it's fabulous. It's just not my priority. I'd rather be eating and drinking a vodka soda and gossiping. Fashion's not my thing, but I do applaud this. We're a very inclusive show here. And so we really want everybody to just express themselves. And if you want to put on a ball gown and go to the supermarket or a top hat and strut down the street like a peacock, I say do it. So we're really inclusive here. However, Candace does have a long history of being very controversial. Sometimes I think she does it to get attention, so let's not say her name any more times. Plus, too, let's be clear here, she's a staunch, staunch supporter of President Trump, who wears more makeup than Kim Kardashian. So when it comes to gender bending here and playing with the rules, I don't know about this one. I do think, though, a lot of celebrities have come forward to support Harry. It's a new world. Live and let live, everybody. Let's all try and be a little bit happier and come together. It's hurting nobody. Talking about not coming together, the Windsors are pulling out every stop they can to trash this season of The Crown. So up to now, The Crown has been very pro-royal. It even made us feel bad for Queen Elizabeth. Basically, the takeaway from The Crown is the royals are just like us. However, this new season, I don't know if you're watching it yet, JT, it's a little bit tough on Prince Charles. They don't like it. Diana is finally in the show. So they've gone through the royal history from the beginning of when Queen Elizabeth took the crown to right up to Princess Diana. That's where we are right now. And there's some awful truths about Charles and Diana that are not pretty, including the fact that the night before he got married to Princess Diana, he was with Camilla Parker Bowles, his mistress. The show is not pulling their punches on this. However, the royal family are sort of fighting back. There's lots of sources out there that are now saying that it's unfair, it's not the truth. This was 25, 30 years ago. They shouldn't be doing this. Prince William is said to be very, very angry that the show is exploiting both of his parents. People are also mad with Meghan and Harry because they just cut a multi-million dollar deal with Netflix, who's the same company that is behind The Crown. Queen Elizabeth is apparently mad too because there's some awful, awful stories in the show about the Duke of Edinburgh cheating on her. A lot of people are saying it's just still too raw to talk about Princess Diana. I watched the first episode. I'm a huge fan of The Crown, but it did feel different. Talking about Princess Margaret gallivanting around London drinking, it felt like history. When they talked about Princess Diana on the show, for me, it felt a little too soon. I know it's 25 years ago, but it just, I don't know. It didn't make me feel good. Have you watched this, JT? What are your feelings?
I am not caught up, but, you know, I have heard the buzz about this. And I think anything with Diana is a little sensitive. She's iconic and deeply missed from everyone around the world. So, you know, I think rightfully so, if they're upset, they lost their mother tragically. And, you know, all these years later, there's more and more stories that come out. So I, you know, I'm a little
sensitive.
Yeah,
tread carefully. A little sensitive on this one. We're going to take a little sensitive break and we will be back in just a moment. Welcome back to the Naughty But Nice Show. I'm your host, Rob Shooter, with our dear friend. Yes, he is indeed. And now I guess we can say a regular. JT is filling in for Miss D. Thank you for being here, JT. We love having you. What's happening over at the Daily Mail TV? What's popping? What stories are you obsessed with this week?
Oh my God, so many things. I mean, it can never keep up. It's just everything from, you know, Harry Styles, which we just talked about, over to your COVID news, your latest lighter politics, what's happening with Biden and Trump. I mean, never a dull moment. Then we have some housewives. The Atlanta ladies are coming back soon. You know, there's lots brewing.
Lots brewing. And we love your handsome new host of the show.
Thomas Roberts.
Hello. Okay, let's get to the polls. So yesterday, we talked about should Ellen take a pay cut to save some staff members that have been laid off. So recently, lots of companies are going through difficult times, particularly media companies, so that's no surprise. There has been about 17 people laid off from Ellen's digital department, and now people are asking, should she have taken a pay cut? She earns millions of dollars. Did she do the right thing? 95% of you said yes, she should have taken a pay cut. I don't know if I agree here. So let me defend Ellen just for one second. Yes, she earns a massive amount of money, but it is a company. She's not running a charity. And every company, I think, has to be financially viable. And so I think she can't get involved in that stuff. What do you think, JT? Do you think she should have taken a pay cut?
I mean, there's just been so much controversy around her and her show. I, you know, working in television, it's hard to say. But like you said, you know, it is a business. And at the end of the day, she's been doing this for so many years. It's just like kind of like part of the process. Like you start as a PA. And then if you move your way all the way up to host like Ellen, like clearly there are pay increases over the years. And you would want that if you were in her position. So, you know, maybe I'm a little on your side this time.
Yeah, I do understand it, because it does feel at first sight that she earns all this money and she could just pay all of us money. But where does it stop? Should she send me a check? I mean, think about it with your own money. I'm happy to buy a friend drinks, dinner, but I don't want to pay their rent. Like if a friend of mine asked me for money, that would make me wildly uncomfortable. I love being generous with my friends. I'd love it if Ellen, you know, bought them all a great Christmas gift, or if Ellen decided to pay for lunch every Friday for the next year. I think that stuff is a really good idea. Yeah. And I think buying donuts in the morning, that certainly promotes goodwill. But I don't think handing out money. I don't know. Think about it. I know I'm the minority here. 95% of you disagree with me. But think about that. And don't forget to vote on today's Twitter poll at Naughty Nice Rob. Or you can also go and leave a comment on our Facebook page, Naughty Gossip. And be sure to check back tomorrow to hear your results. And now it's time for our nicest of the day. What have you got, JT?
So we have Dolly Parton, and she was listening to Whitney Houston's I Will Always Love You. So Ooh. Dolly actually told Oprah Winfrey she had to pull over her car when she first heard the late singer's rendition of I Will Always Love You. So Dolly said she was driving from her home in downtown Nashville to her home in Brentwood, Tennessee, when it came on the radio. Quote, I was shot so full of adrenaline and energy, I had to pull off because I was afraid that I would wreck. I could not believe how she did that. I mean, how beautiful. It was my little song that had turned into that. It was just a major, major thing. You know, wow. Dolly wrote that song back in 1973 as a goodbye anthem. Uh-huh. We still love this song 47 years later. It's a smashing hit. It gives you all the feels. Dolly, yes. If you're listening, let's write a song. Bring me to Dollywood. I love you, I love you, I love you.
People don't know, not everybody knows, Dolly wrote I Will Always Love You. So she wrote it years ago and she recorded it as a little tiny ballad. If you Google it, go to YouTube and listen to the Dolly Parton version. It's much smaller than the Whitney version. Gosh, that Whitney song. I still remember it. I do. I remember hearing it for the very first time. I was in Edinburgh, Scotland. I was at university. It was the biggest song of the summer, if not the year, in Great Britain. It was huge throughout the world. Music's so important to my life. How about you, JT? There's songs, certain songs, that if they come on the radio or if they play in the club, it brings me back to a really happy time. Do you have that? Do you have that connection with music?
Oh, absolutely. I love music. It gives me all the feels. It can transcend you into a different headspace and you can dance and feel free and flow. I love music so much that it's very important in my life.
I have a little trick with music too. On days that I get upset or when somebody has bothered me, annoyed me, I often just go for a little walk just for 5 minutes. I pop in my earphones and I listen to one of my favorite songs. And music for me, it's almost meditational. It can actually change my mood. Yes. I can feel the vibrations and the energy. This sounds so airy-fairy, but it really can sort of alter your mood. Give it a try. Next time somebody upsets you, instead of fighting back, take a time out for 2 minutes and listen to your favorite song. And I promise you, you will feel better. And now it's time for our naughtiest of the day. Naughty, naughty, naughty. Naughty, naughty, naughty. Ellen DeGeneres is getting slammed by critics for thanking her staff when she won a People's Choice Award. So Garrett told us on yesterday's show about Ellen willing. Now social media's going nuts. So I think we're all the naughtiest here. She won the award. What was she meant to do? Not thank her staff? She's in a no-win situation. If Ellen just thanks herself and doesn't address the controversy, that's weird. If she does thank the staff, then we feel like maybe she's getting rewarded for not being a great boss. It's so difficult. I would guess, I don't know this, but I would guess that Ellen, it might have been better to not have won at all because then you wouldn't have to address this problem. I mean, I can't imagine not wanting to win an award, but if ever there's a year that you didn't want any extra attention, it was probably this year. Or do you think Ellen loves this and she's back on top and winning the award has proven to everybody that she's moved on? What do you think she thought about all this, JT, as someone who knows TV really well?
I mean, who doesn't love an award, like you said? I think, you know, if she's going to get the award, she's putting it up on the mantle. I mean, through all the loud noises that's going on around her, she's a pretty strong and sound woman. I think, like, this is all positive for her.
I agree. Hey, let's have a moment of Rob. You get a Rob, you get a Rob, you get a Rob.
You get a Rob.
Thank you, darling. For 20 minutes or so, we might like to make you giggle with celebrity gossip, but for a moment or a little bit more serious, I'm going to give you a quote from Tyler Perry. He said the following: the most important thing that I learned in growing up is that forgiveness is something that when you do it, you free yourself to move on. So what he's saying is when you forgive yourself, you're no longer stuck in the past. So if you're not able to forgive, you're constantly reliving a bad moment over and over. It's becoming your identity. It's who you are. You can't let it go. The minute you forgive, you can move forward into your future. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. I think if you carry all of that negativity with you, you'll never move forward. So you gotta let it go, turn the page, and move on.
Let it go. Hey, JT, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
We love having you. Thank you. And thank you for listening to the Naughty But Nice with Rob show, a production of iHeartRadio. Don't forget to subscribe on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen. And leave us a review. And remember, everybody, if you're going to be naughty, you've got to be nice. Take care, everybody.
It's Naughty But Nice with Rob.